Hello, and welcome to the Golden Thread Conversations. I'm your host, Judy Murdoch. Today, I am so happy to be speaking with Randy Wall. Randy is the owner of Art Lab Studios. He has been involved in quite a variety of different areas in arts and makerspace. He has designed streetwear. He has illustrated and written comics. He does 3D modeling. He creates action figures. A lot of really wonderfully fun stuff. So, Randy, I am so happy to be with you today and to learn more about what you do. For my website, I have really appreciated you. Do you remember
Not a problem. I was just trying to remember how I do know you. What projects did we do? There's been so many that I don't. I have a hard time keeping track.
No, it's totally cool. It's been a while. Like 7 years ago now, probably. I kind of rebranded my business. Called it Ignite Your Mojo, and I was looking for somebody who could kind of create like a comic feel. I was kind of going a little with Ripley's Believe It or Not, because Ripley has the comic strip and all. So you created for me, you did the logo, the top hat with stuff kind of coming out. And you did the whole logo. And you did a tune of me, which I totally loved. You made me look so good.
Wasn't there something before that?
What's that?
Wasn't there a project before that? Like, why do I think it's got something to do with teaching kids or something, a board game or something, not that?
I talked with you briefly about my idea was to inform and what's the word? Promote, small D democratic citizenship values. And I thought it would be really cool to do it in a comic form, because I feel that most information is just too complex for people to absorb easily. And I always think the best, most subversive way to get information into people is through comics.
Right.
I'm a big comic fan.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember. I get so much stuff going that it's hard to keep track of what projects were for who and stuff. So.
Sure, I hear you. I think you're a lucky man to have all those fun projects to work on.
Yeah. Well, things have died down. Things have died down. Like I said, I was just sort of trying to kick back for a little bit and do some traveling and stuff. And then I started making these models for fun. And then a company approached me to see if I'd be interested in making them if I could somehow make them into kits so people could do it themselves at home.
I think it's super cool.
That turned into a little business.
Yeah, I myself went through a little phase where I was buying a bunch of books that were showing you how to do printables. Printing out like little characters that you could assemble, make it on heavy cardstock. And but these were like really kind of cool, hip little printable characters. They weren't like your more boring paper dolls or something
There's a lot of free stuff on the internet too, if you're into that paper making stuff.
Yeah, I know. A lot of crazy clever stuff.
There's also software where if you have a 3D model, you can add the file to the software and it'll flatten it out all out into pages.
Wow.
From a 3D model.
Wow.
I don't use that, but.
Wow, that is cool.
I have a 3D printer.
Uh-huh. So Randy, I've got a question for you. So were you always sort of a crazy crafty kid when you were little?
Yes, cardboard box to keep me busy for a week. I used to bring home cardboard boxes and then big, packing tape and markers, and I would play with boxes until they couldn't stand it any longer and threw it away.
Because you and I, the thing that I got a kick out of was you and I both read Mad when we were kids.
I still get it. This month's issue.
You still read Mad. I know.
I do. I get it as a gift, a subscription.
That's really.
I get that as a gift every year. So.
Yeah. I know. I just like the fact you kept drawing cartoons and I stopped.
You know what? There was a big motivator. That comic. That's. I was getting that. My mom was buying me that magazine before I could read.
Your mom bought you Mad.
My parents bought me Mad. My mom read a lot, but she used to just sift through magazines, you know, stories and all those. She grabbed me a Mad magazine, and before I could even read or even understand what the politics were about it.
Wow.
Back then, there was a lot of hawk and dove stuff, which I didn't really understand as a kid. I didn't know what was going on in Vietnam or anything. Mad's kind of political that way.
It was political. I remember that too. I really used to love the movie satires. They were for movies I was too young to see in the theater. So I kind of felt like I got to see them anyway.
That's right. That's where I saw the movies that I couldn't see when I was a kid.
Exactly. Yeah. I felt so naughty. So Randy, were magazines like Mad your inspiration for, you know, like I know you do comic characters. So was that like what got you started?
I probably think so. Yeah. I mean, Mad Magazine, I never thought that I'd be, you know, doing cartoons and stuff like that for a living. But at the time I was a big Mad fan. I still am. But then as I got older, I started buying Warren publications that were, which my parents didn't really like. And they were all the horror magazines, Vampirilla and the Creepies and Eeries. And I think a lot of that had a big influence on me too, because I'm a big science fiction fan.
I got
a lot of toys. I think that's all been very inspiring. Album covers. When I was a teen, album covers were a big deal.
Right. Yeah, they were. I remember Janis Joplin and Crumb did her album cover. Remember that?
Yes,
one?
Robert Crumb, yeah.
Robert Crumb, yeah. Yeah, that was like, yeah. So what did you go to school for? Did you study art or did you study something else?
Well, I went to regular high school, which had just sort of an art class, which was basically if you show up, good thing. There was never any kind of structure,
right.
and then another place opened in Brandon. This is where I live. I grew up in Brandon, and they had a thing called commercial art, and you took photography and commercial art. Right. And at about that time, you know, they're pressuring you which way you want to go in your career, and that was the first time I heard that you could actually make an art living as a commercial artist.
Right.
So I went there and took those courses, and I was lucky. I did really good and got the award at the end of the year, and that came with a job. So I went and worked right out of school into a printing shop, which was awful. But I did that for some time and worked in Brandon. And then I just wanted more than that. I wanted more than supper menus and stuff like that. So I started looking at Winnipeg, the next bigger city, just came to Winnipeg and got a job right away as a illustrator here, drawing trucks and farm machinery and stuff like that.
Cool.
And then I got into clothes here. There was some local guys that had a clothing line that got really big. They hired me, you know, and that's how I got to Los Angeles and stuff. Doing fashion.
How do you, I'm curious, cause I saw that like on your about page, and I that kind of surprised me for some reason. I didn't see you as being a guy who would be involved in fashion, but.
Well, it happened by accident, by chance. I used to build sandcastles at this beach, mm-hmm. and they used to have a sandcastle contest every year. And we had a team and we would go. So one year I was there building, and these guys came up and asked me if I'd be interested in doing some graphics for their t-shirts.
Wow.
And cool. I said, sure. And then it just started from that. They eventually hired me full time, and Bum Equip bought us out, and we moved to Los Angeles and all that business.
So it's mostly what you've done, like t-shirt images, like silkscreen images on t-shirts and that sort of thing. Okay. Well, that sounds like
yes, a lot. I probably did about a couple hundred for them. And then once we got to Los Angeles, I had to start designing clothes. So, well, it was actually before I was living there. I used to get flown to Los Angeles, and then I would shop on Melrose for a couple of days and pick out stuff that I thought was really cool as far as silhouettes. Not the logos, perhaps, but more like the actual silhouettes of the garments. And then we'd go there, buy some stuff, and then bring them back and then tone them down a bit. But when we got to Los Angeles, we had to be predictive and tell, and we had to do the lines where you're sort of guesstimating what the color palette's going to be next spring and what are people going to be wearing and what the plaids are and all that.
Wow. So were you doing so like most?
It just sort of got forced into it.
So were you doing?
Were you doing
like mostly like what they call streetwear these days?
Yes. We're guilty of the big jeans, the big baggy jeans, and all that fresh look on the t-shirts. We were sort of doing knockoffs of like Tide logos and stuff like that for the clubs.
Cool. That's really cool. That sounds like a lot of fun. It sounds like a fun.
Yeah, I didn't have to buy clothes for I don't think I bought clothes for like 12 years.
That's really cool. And you probably know now, because I think maybe the internet, there's like kind of an explosion of, man, you know, people who design and make them now, because I think anybody can do it and sell them.
I mean, I don't know how you make a living in it anymore, because I can just have shirts printed. Anybody can just have anything printed on a shirt instantly.
Right.
It's a smaller world now.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think there's always a niche, you know, where you can make money. But I think you've got to have something kind of special for people to
and it's time. You got to get people trying to cop up $40 for a t-shirt when I can go to Walmart and buy one for $12.
Yeah.
So it's a tough business, I think, now. But back in the day, Winnipeg was a big clothing place. They had lots of blue jean manufacturers here, and you could get digital embroidery. And there was place, you know, sample houses that would make us samples and, you know, and lots of fabric places, but that business is gone. And I think it's just, I don't know how you do it anymore.
Is it overseas mostly now?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it's all moved overseas.
Well, you could do a shirt in China for $8. That's going to cost you 30 here.
Right. Yeah, I know. Nothing's ever the same, is it?
But people rather pay $8, including me. I'd rather pay $8 than $30 for a shirt.
There you go.
Back in the day, I probably would have never bought any of that stuff we made if it wasn't being given to me, because it was too expensive for me. I refuse. My wife thinks I'm a cheapskate.
Yeah. So I'm curious about your comic work, because for the work that you did for my website, it was really great, Randy. I was so impressed. How do you do it? How did you get into it to begin with?
Well, you know what? I worked at a place downtown here in Winnipeg, and I was starting to branch out and get some freelance work. And then somebody approached me about doing illustrations for a book, and I did it. And then the book became a hit. And then after that, I just was getting lots of work.
So
the same thing happened with the clothing.
Wow.
Before the clothing company hired me full time, I was working for all kinds of people. And then once their company became successful, then I had Audi Glove and all these other places calling for work. And I did that until they finally nailed me down with a full-time job there in-house. In the meantime, I was doing freelance. So anybody that came to me, I did it.
So Randy,
yeah, it's just little things like that.
So can I ask you, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So with like figurative drawing on comics, right? So like,
yes,
you know, is that something you just kind of like did because you like to just doodle and stuff and you just kind of got better
basically
at it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time just drawing.
Yeah.
and playing with Lego. I built with Lego, and I did a lot of drawing with pencils and crayons, and I did lots of plasticine when I was a kid, and I think that helped me in the later on when I was approached to do sculpting for toys.
Yeah,
I just said, yeah, I can do it, and then just started doing it. I just got a knack for it.
Yeah, you do for sure, because there's also from my, you know, from the perspective of, you know, myself doing artwork, there's a definite it's a different set of skills, I think, to do 3D work versus doing 2D work. 3D yeah. work is, I can't really do 3D work myself. 2D work, no problem. But 3D work, I think it really takes like your brain has to, like you have to have like a talent or something to be able to work in 3D.
I see depth in your little watercolors. Your little watercolors have 3D to them.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Well, I'm thinking more. You can tell when things are up close.
I'm thinking about like actually creating like a sculpture.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's easier than drawing for me, actually.
Is it really? That's really interesting.
Yeah, because sometimes if I want to get something super detailed, I'll make it out of plasticine and then draw it from that.
That's so cool. Wow. So what else? You're working on these kits that are, you can assemble them, right? They're printed out. Are they printed on cardstock?
Yes, they're printed on cardstock, and I get them printed locally here.
And what is
they're just digitally printed, but they look good. They're nice and crisp, and I think they're at about 300 dots per square inch or something. It's pretty nice.
It is nice.
And I've had lots of good feedback about it.
That's really great, Randy. What is the name of the company that you're working for?
Oh, that's me, the Art Lab. But the company that's buying the models
is called
Cotswold Collectibles. And they've been buying them for a couple of years now. They actually flew me out to Atlanta there the year before last. Last year I couldn't go. It got canceled because of the COVID. But it was great to meet all those guys and see what I just didn't even know that market existed. Because it's when I worked in toys before, it was all for kids' toys. And they were, you know, it's big. You go to New York Toy Show and all the buyers buy and it goes, you see it at Toys R Us and at Walmart and stuff. This is different. This is just a small niche in society where there's these still people that are collecting toys that are full grown adults.
Yeah.
And
big kids have more money.
Sort of crafty.
Right? Big kids have more money. Big kids have more money for toys.
They do. Yeah. When you see some of the things like $200, $250 for a 12-inch action figure, those are adults buying those.
Right. Yeah. So there was another question I wanted to ask you. Do you typically go to Comic-Con?
I don't know.
I'm so surprised.
I've never been to the big Comic-Con. I've gone to the local ones, but I've never been to a big one before.
I'm surprised. Why not?
Alley. You know what? I haven't done any actual comic work for years. I mean, I guess I could still be doing it, but
yeah,
I'm just sort of busy having fun doing everything, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you miss it, doing more comic work?
It's still on my bucket list. I've got a story sitting here by a writer that he's still waiting for me to finish drawing. And I did about, six pages of just doodles from the story to get it, see if I get going on it, but it's still sitting here. I haven't done it yet. Haven't had time.
So is it kind of like in development hell, so to speak, or just.
Yeah, it's in development I think it's going to be like adult. So it'll be more like for the heavy metal magazine.
Cool. It sounds great. Yeah. Wow.
Well, if I ever get it done.
Yeah. There you go. So, what are challenges for you, you know, in light of like your work, the type of work you do?
Challenges. Oh, well, they like to see something fresh every month, a new model. So that's a lot of thinking about how to make something flat that's 3D.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, so it takes me some time, probably a week, to sort of design and do a test build. And it keeps me busy. They like to, like I said, they like to see something fresh, and it keeps me out of trouble.
What kind of trouble would you get into, Randy, up there?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I didn't introduce you properly in this, and so most people probably don't know that you're in Canada.
Yes, this is the Great White North up here.
Great White.
We got a little bit of snow, but nothing terrible.
Right.
Halloween sucked.
And I've been appreciating your comments on Facebook about American politics.
Oh man, I'm not even interested in politics, but I can't. I can't stand seeing. I mean, when I was a kid, I looked up to America, but we wanted to be Americans. It's changed now because of your president, our president, the Second Amendment.
I'm losing you a little bit there.
Yeah, how about that?
That's fine. I want to hear what you're saying.
Oh, I'm just saying that you're not moved into
politics. Losing you again.
I can't stand seeing you get run down. America's kind of changed.
I know.
Things have gotten ugly.
It has, hasn't it?
And so I speak up. I don't understand why other friends that I know that live down there don't say something. I'm not going to sit. If it comes down my newsfeed and I don't like it, I'm going to reply to it.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, Randy, that the people who are probably the most outspoken and critical, at least on my you know, Facebook friends, are all Canadians.
Yeah, because we don't have
imagine to. Imagine that. Maybe we're all too
close. We are
close
dealing with
here.
It up here.
Are you?
We're seeing that sentiment.
Yeah.
Partially in our conservative government.
Yeah, that's right. Forgot about that.
And they're thinking it's okay.
Yeah. I know. Oh, well, whenever I get down, I make something or do something that makes me happy, or I talk to somebody doing something that makes me happy.
You got to keep busy. That's what I try to do.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you do.
I do.
So anything else?
I'm feeling.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying. Of relief. I feel like I can leave the news now for 5 minutes and the world's not going to blow up. And I'm getting back to my studio, and that's good.
Well, seriously, Randy, if you ever want to do that, like some kind, I mean, your time is the thing, but if you ever wanted to do some kind of collaboration, something nice and subversive.
I'd be interested in that.
You know? If you could somehow squeak the time, I can do the story part. You know, I can do the story and dialogue.
Good.
But the drawing part, I just don't have that facility yet. I must depend on other artists to do that.
I can do that kind of stuff easy.
Any day, my friend. Any day.
Yep. Cool.
So I'm going to say thank you to you for your time. I hope this was fun.
No problem.
Yeah.
I was nervous. I've never done one of these Zoom meetings. So I was wondering how it was all going to work.
I wanted to tell you before we started. Let me stop the recording before I say anything.